You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
We start off with how the markets have been moving throughout the day. It's been an interesting day of developments, and I'm joined on the line by portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth, Nick Kunze, to take a look at this and try and understand what's been happening. Good evening, Nick. Lovely to speak to you again. It seems as though the resources tried to be a drag on the markets, but the markets weren't having it.
Yeah, evening, Jimmy. I mean, what a week. It really has been extremely volatile. Managed to finish a little bit in the green today after what has been, a very, very volatile week. But as you pointed out, still a little bit of negativity around the resources, and that's despite actually some of the spot prices and the metal prices looking okay. But it does seem to be just a soggy market the last few days.
It's absolutely been an emotional week. I'm looking at the top 40 now, and the top 40 is going to finish the week up about just under 1%. But at some stage, we were below 72,000 points. We were worried about whether or not this was going to be the rest of our week. But now it looks like everything kind of has settled down. Seemingly all of the global developments that would have caused uncertainty are starting to be sort of processed and digested by investors, and everybody's kind of back on level footing.
Yeah, it's just a bad dream, Jimmy. It didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
No, but when we came into Monday morning, it was looking like a torrid start. Really, I mean, we had certainly the nerves coming out of Tokyo, Bank of Japan, the yen, the carry trade, all of the above, led off to a very, very scary start. But as the few days have progressed, and we've had a little bit of sort of soothing words from the central bankers, we've had what we look at, the volatility indexes, which indicates your sort of level of fear out there in the market. They have subsided quite a bit. In fact, they've almost halved from about Tuesday. And we'll put that all in together. And then today we had some jobless numbers that came out of America. And there was obviously a few nerves because last week, Friday, that jobless numbers sort of got the sort of, spooked the markets and got that negativity going. But today they came in a little bit better than expected, which I guess made the markets a little bit calmer. So, if you had told me on Monday we're going to finish up slightly on the week, I would never have believed you. So it is a decent finish.
Speaking of those jobs numbers, a lot of the conversation this week has been around the state of the U.S. labor market, whether or not we're going to see a recession, because it's been consecutive bad data. Unemployment is up as well. The Fed might have waited too long for rate cuts. Is there still that concern around the U.S. recessionary picture? I mean, at the start of the week, I would have said that would have been quite a big conversation. But now, towards the end of the week, it almost seems like that's also gone away.
I don't think it's gone away. I think it's certainly worth watching if you're an investor. It's been a reasonably, good run for the last few years. And there has been rumors of a slowdown, and we've seen other central banks around the world cutting. In fact, the Fed are the ones that haven't so far. Even last week we had the Bank of England, we had the European Central Bank, ECB, Bank of Canada, you name it, even closer to home, I think a day or two ago, Kenya cut rates as well. So there's definitely been that sort of top-out cycle in the rate cutting, and the Fed haven't. And I think that made markets a little bit nervous. Then we got that jobless number, which certainly spooked the markets that there might be some recession coming. There's no doubt, Jimmy, I mean, there's a slowdown coming. I guess the question is, how slow does it get? Right now, it looks like it's okay, but nothing goes up in a straight line, and we've had over a decade of consistent global growth, and I think there are fears that things might be sort of rolling over.
That's definitely going to paint a very interesting picture as we go into the rest of the year, and particularly, I think, ahead to things like U.S. elections. Nick, I want to look at some local developments. Implats, that huge impairment announcement, almost 20 billion rand on impairments, set to come through from the business's perspective. But while we're looking at Implats, we might as well look at Glencore as well, add them to the list with how they're dealing with their coal business. What's happening in the mining space? What's going on?
Well, first of all, the miners are definitely under pressure. There's two things that affect them. First of all, the rumors of a slowdown clearly affect them, because obviously, platinum and base metals and the like are needed for a world that carries on turning. So that is an effect. And obviously, a lot of the miners, if you look at the platinum miners in particular, if you take, for example, something like a Kumba, which is just iron ore, outside of those metals, they don't do anything else. So they're effectively a sort of a one-trick pony. And when those spot prices go down, and they are, platinum was for example, was 50% higher than where it is now, it's going to hurt them. And I guess certain levels where they are profitable and when they're not profitable. Right now, a lot of these miners are literally sitting on the edge and treading water. And you had Implats coming out as a case in point. And you're going to need these spot prices to turn around. But, I guess to a certain extent, there is a little bit of light at the tunnel because they need a weaker dollar. And, if the Fed start cutting rates, like they are supposed to probably in about 5 weeks' time, middle of next month they meet, that should, give a little bit of a respite to the miners. But they are sort of the forefront of the recession talk are our miners, unfortunately.
Mm. Nick, let's look at some of the board changes that were announced today. We got announcements from Naspers and Astral, executives electing to leave the business. Clearly, markets not really responding, but I suppose in the case of Astral, the outgoing CFO was set to leave anyway.
Yeah, no surprises on the Astral side, and the market didn't really budge accordingly. But Naspers interesting. There's been a few changes there, and I think we're going to see probably more. The incoming CEO is going to obviously want to sort of stamp his authority and put his sort of team on board or bring on from what he's done from Brazil. So that is quite interesting as well. But as I said, the market actually quite liked it. It was actually Prosus and Naspers both solidly up on the day.
Mm. Something else the market seemed to like was MTN. They gave us quite a concerning update around the forecast for headline earnings when they are going to give us that full set of numbers. But the share price was still up 9%.
Yeah, this is one of those ones that you sort of, if you're still looking in the markets and you're understanding investing, this is one of those ones we used to say you buy the rumor, sell the news. and this has been sort of, we kind of knew this. It's sort of a little bit backward looking. Interesting enough, that we all know about the Naira devaluation. And in fact, it's down whatever it is. I think it was about 400 to the dollar. It's closer to 1100 now. The MTN share price almost exactly the same because it is 50% of the income is derived from Nigeria. So there's no doubt about it. It's been a big knock to the earnings. But I think it's done now. How much further can it go? The black market price in the Naira is pretty much the same of where the official rate now is for the first time in as long as I can remember. So it's almost like that news is done. But they do still need to grow. It's still quite a nasty set of numbers, and they need to return to profitability in the next few months.
How do they do that? They've just sold, just sold their Guinea-Bissau business. They've finalized that, offloading that business or that disposal rather. What do you do as an MTN when you've got such a large exposure to one particular geographical region and there's nothing you can do about something like the Naira devaluation?
There's nothing you can do about it. And the problem you've also got is, the South African boardrooms are littered with businesses that have gone into Nigeria and had problems. You all know the few of them, but they can't get money out. They do seem to have a much better relationship with the Nigerian government than most other businesses. And they've got to turn the business around. And they've got to diversify as well. If you look at some of the other areas that they're very active in, the likes of Ghana, Uganda, their earnings were excellent. Their growth is quite significant, 30-odd% up. Never going to make up for the size of Nigeria, but it certainly does lessen the blow. So, that's what they've got to do. They've got to sort of concentrate on expanding their footprint further into the rest of Africa.
Nick, what are your thoughts around where we go in the next quarter? We're kind of teetering on the edge of rate cuts, and there's been a lot of optimism and a lot of positivity and a lot of analysts are saying we'll see inflows back into South Africa. As a wealth manager, where you sit at the moment, are you as optimistic about the South African picture?
So yeah, let's be clear. The South African picture, Jimmy, is looking better. Just take a case in point, like the biggest retailer like ShopRite, for example. Last year they were spending over 100 million rand per month just on their diesel bill for generators. So that has gone away. It's been a very impressive turnaround in load shedding, which has been non-existent. Now that earnings is going straight to the bottom line. So there's a lot of positivity to look forward to from a South African perspective. And we've been cheap, we've been cheap for a while, and we probably need to sort of rebase ourselves with the rest of the emerging market basket. So there's possibly some more upside. The next few months, though, globally, I think that is a bit more of a concern. You touched on it briefly. You've got US elections in November. And I think investors need to just keep a close eye on the global economy. You've got to keep an eye on these PMI numbers, manufacturing numbers that are coming out worldwide. you know, if there is starting to be a slowdown, you will get the central banks cutting rates, which is good. You just got to be very careful with, you know, we don't leave it too late and they tip it into recession. But for now, I'd have to say the glass is half full for now. But you just got to, you know, be a little bit cautious going into year end.
The glass is half full. I'll take it. I like optimism. Thanks so much, Nick. We'll leave it at that. Nick Kunze, portfolio manager at Sanlam Private Wealth, on the market movements throughout the day, some interesting corporate developments, and where we go from here.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.